All right, without further ado, John, who would you like to pray for you this morning?
Sammy.
Father, we just lift up John right now, Lord God, and we just ask, God, that your word just comes forth. Lord, just touch each one of us individually, Lord, and help us just draw closer to you. God, bring us to a place to where we can grow and learn from one another, Lord, to the point where iron sharpens iron. And we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk about faith, our connection with God. But before I get into that, I want to ask you, I wanted to just throw out there, what is some of the ways that you can connect with God? We're going to have prayer.
Just talking to him.
Pardon me?
Just talking to him.
Talking to him, which is a form of prayer, right?
Reading the word.
Reading the word.
Worship.
Okay. Worship. Praise. How about fellowship? About love? Okay. You know, those are all good ways to connect with God. But before you can actually get to there, the first thing you need is faith. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So it's important that we believe, but what is the difference between belief and faith? Is believing in God the same?
No.
No.
It is not. You know, Satan believes in God, doesn't he? So the thing that we need to think about here, and the point that I'm trying to make, is that sometimes we go, we rest on the fact that we say we believe, but we don't move into the area of faith. And so we need to continue to consider what is our faith when it comes to God, and what does that mean? So, you know, I had a little synopsis here, a little picture story about someone who is on an island, been stranded on an island for years, and a big ship comes up, and people get off, and they give them the good news that they can take him off the island, and they can put him into a beautiful place that he can be with other people. And then he considers all of the things that he's seen while he's on the island, all the storms that come brewing up and everything else that has happened since he's been there. And he thinks that maybe the ship would not make it back to this beautiful place. So he chooses not to go. You know, in some cases, we can believe that the ship can take us there. He believes the ship can take us there, but he doesn't have the faith to get on the ship to get him there. And sometimes as Christians, you know, when we accept the Lord as Jesus, Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord of our life, you know, we believe that he can do it, but we haven't got into the area of trusting and have enough faith to allow him to take us there, to give us the promises that he has promised us in that everlasting life. So I think it's important that we realize, that we recognize, that just because we believe something is not necessarily the full capacity as a Christian that we need. We need to have faith in what we believe in. And what is faith? I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Now that is a little bit different than trust, right? Even. Because usually when you trust something, you've had some experience with it. Faith is saying just the opposite. You need to have that trust even though you haven't had a clear understanding or that you can't see it. Usually when you trust something, you can see it. But when you're doing things under the Spirit and you're doing things in connection with God, Jesus Christ is our connection. And even though historically he's in the book, of the Bible. We still haven't met him, so we have to believe everything that the Bible is talking to us. So the next thing that we need to have faith in God's word. We need to have faith that the word is bringing us to a place of truth so that we can move on and continue our walk with Christ. You know, we were upstairs, we were talking about all those other things that you guys had mentioned, you know, belief and prayer and those things, love. We were up there when we were talking about these little devices that man has been able to make and the length of time that things now, the wonder of that, but also the length of the battery life. Because Pastor Don was talking about something that now the battery life is 10 to 15 years in these little devices. You know, that's what prayer, love, and all of those other things, aside from faith, do. They sustain us. They keep us going. They allow us to move closer into God and continue to press in so that we can become stronger in our faith. Because we don't really understand faith. It's impossible for us as a human being to understand it, but we can experience it. And I can tell you, how many of us here have experienced faith or something that they really required faith? It's not even a matter of things that we get, that we pray for. I'm talking about something that's deeper that says, you know what, regardless of what's going on around us, I believe. I'm going to make Bob run a lot today. I got a lot of questions.
I put my faith.
Is that on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I maybe didn't have much faith in my earlier years, but I tell you, after I lost my son, I put my faith in God, and this, I'll tell you what, he pulled me out.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody? I got one.
Go ahead.
The day they told me I had cancer.
Yep.
That required faith.
Yep.
To get through that.
Amen. Mine was, I think, when I lost my job. I was employed for 20 some years, and they decided they were going to do some cutbacks, and I was one of them because I probably making more money than some of the other guys, so they take off the high earners first, right? Initially, I can tell you that it was a concern for me. I mean, I thought about it; it was on my mind constantly. And then one day in prayer, I just got the peace of God that just allowed me to walk through that. And you know something? I never missed a day of making payments to any bill, even though my income was cut more than in half. I mean, so, and I think that revelation and those things that happened to me, just, you know, you have to reflect back on them again. You can't let those things go. You have to know how you got through certain things. You have to remember how you got through certain things because that is the hope that we get from faith. Those are some of the things that you can trust and you know that God is going to move regardless.
Yeah, like what you said, I was thinking of David at Ziklag. I think most of you know the story. Him and his men were out raiding. They came back. Well, their camp had been raided. And they sat around, you know, crying basically, and then the men started thinking, let's stone David, you know. And so I said that, and I like this. David strengthened himself in the Lord. In other words, he sat down and began to think, what has God done for me in the past? You know, he gave me the ability to defeat the bear, the lion, the giant, you know, and it says he strengthened himself. And you're so right, we got to look back at those times. God, what have you done for me in the past? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know. And when you meditate on it, God, you know what? You're faithful to me. I don't understand how this is going to work out. And then David, he inquired of God, and he was given direction. You know, a lot of times, and this is the thing most of us as Christians don't do, is that we get in those predicaments, but we don't seek God and what he wants us to do. We try to work it out on our own.
Yep.
Instead of saying, God, you know what? Every time I try to work it out on my own, I screw the whole thing up.
Yep.
You know, and just saying, God, you be God, you do your thing, and I'm going to have to trust you no matter what we see. But yeah, drawing strength from what he's done, and that's why we said this year it's so important. Look back at these things. Keep a journal. God, you blessed me A, B, C, and D. You know, I saw this one that I've been praying for come to faith. I saw this one healed. I saw this one, you know, with a job opportunity, whatever it might be. And it gives you, you know, it does something in the spirit where you say, hey, I want to believe God for, you know, for even bigger and better things.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think even the Israelites, as they went through, when they came out of Egypt, they built monuments of memories to the things that have happened in the past, so that even their ancestors could go back and reflect on the things that have been, God has blessed them with through the course of their walk. And so we need to always remember, we need to go back. One of the big, and I've shared this before, but one of the big things that I have to go back to always is a couple of them, actually. One of them was when I was driving down the street and before I even knew God, I mean, it's not that I didn't know God, but before I even gave my life to God, I got this vision of Jesus Christ on the cross while I'm driving down the road. And all of a sudden, my heart broke. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. It was a repentance. It wasn't like I was confessing my sins. It's exactly what I was doing. I wasn't verbalizing my sins. It was my sorrow for what I had not done. I know that my life, I knew Christ when I was a kid, and I didn't know that I knew him. All I knew is that there was a feeling and a clarity and a desire inside of me that I had walked away from, not because I chose to, but just because life took over and I didn't have the support to keep me where I was. I would have been a more committed Christian earlier had I had a Christian family that was supporting what God was doing in my life when I was young. But you know what? I just know that when God touched me that day, my heart repented. I was broken. People driving down the road probably thought that I had lost a family member because I was bawling, out and out bawling. And I'd like to repeat this story because there's some who may not have ever heard this. And I think it's a story worth telling in that as I'm driving down the road, I have never listened to a Christian worship station in my life. And I turned the channel, I turned on my radio after I was done bawling for 20 minutes at least. And I turned on the Christian radio station, first thing that came on my thing. I was on my way down to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the next thing I knew, and this confirmed to me that Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins, I was praising God like nobody's business. I was worshiping the Lord, something I had never done before. All in one day, God showed me repentance. He showed me what he did for me. And on the next day, I could rejoice in that sacrifice. And you know, it's something as we go through life, as we struggle through life, as we go through different things, Satan has put up a lot of roadblocks for you to challenge your faith. He has got places out there that you haven't even suspected yet, and that's why you pray. Because when you have faith and you pray, things happen. Life changes. You become stronger, more powerful than you can ever think you could be. Because that is what God made you for. He made you to replace Christ while he's not here, but Christ is with us, right? All right, I'm not saying that you're the replacement, but you're the way that people get to know Christ, because you develop your love and your affection for the things that he's done for you, your appreciation, your thankfulness, all starts to come out of each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can start doing the work. We have a lot of giftings in this church that haven't come out yet. And I know some of us are fearful of getting too close to God for what he might ask us to do, right? I mean, it's very difficult. But the thing is, you know what? And when I talk about how we turn our action, our faith into action, I'm gonna give something back that Kenny mentioned in his last meeting, which I thought was simple but profound. He said, if you want to see God work in your life, you need to put yourself in the path of God. Amen? That hit me more than anything that you taught that day. It really did. It's like if you really want to see your faith grow, you need to stick more than your toe or your finger into the water. You need to submerge your life into the water. And you know what? We got it. We have to stop being afraid of what God is going to ask us to do that may change the things that we do in our life. Because you will be more joyful, more fulfilled. You'll have more peace in your life. You know, I think about all the things that the apostles went through. And yet they struggled with people trying to kill them and everything else. And yet, through all of that, they had peace. How would you like to have peace no matter what went on in your life? Would that increase your faith? When you see God work, would that increase your faith? When you see yourself being used by God, would that increase your faith? You can't be used by God if you don't step into his path. You cannot do anything without the Spirit with you. You cannot change unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which gives you the one that can teach you everything that you need to know of the spirit life. See, the flesh will always fight against the spirit of man. The flesh will jump in there and start trying to take over. As Pastor Don said, we want to do it ourselves. We want to find a way, okay, God, show me this, and okay, I'll take it from here, you know. And so we do that so many times because we don't really know how to connect and trust that he can lead us into so many things that will just enhance our life more than you know. See, it's not the things that we have that make our life better, right? It's the things that's inside that make our life better. When you start giving, you feel better about yourself, but the other person receives the blessing. And it's not just about giving money. It's about giving your time. It's about giving your anointing, your gifting. Because when you start moving in your gift, when you stop looking to be something that God has not made you to be, and you become what he wanted you to be, your faith will grow. You will become a person that God made you, and the gift will bless you as much as it blesses others. And when you're being used by God, then you know nothing can change that. You will go into a war zone. And I remember the story. This was actually in one of the papers. These people I think it was Africa. But these group of Christians would walk right in between the battle of two warring tribes. And they would not be shot. They would not be harmed. And the people would, and whenever they came, both sides would run. They'd start to run because they knew that they couldn't believe that these people could not be harmed. That's how strong their faith was. And God protected them. And we need to come to a place where we get to where God, we know that God is protecting us. That he is going to take us through whatever trial we're in. You know, the apostles didn't shy away from being harmed. You know, some of them got killed because they went where God sent them. We just need to be able to believe that we can make that journey and do God's will. Because one of the things that I'm going to talk about, when we can say that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but if we can't trust that he has conquered death, we do not have faith in his purpose, right? So now, what does it mean to you that Christ conquered death?
You know, that's an important question because a lot of Christians think it's physical death.
Right.
It had nothing to do with physical death. It had death in the scripture. It will relate to physical death, but it was that spiritual death that we've been separated from God. Mm-hmm. And so that when he died, when he offered that perfect sacrifice, he restored that relationship. You know, we see in the example, he's on the cross, and what happened at the moment of his death, that veil in the temple ripped in two. Why are we told that? Because that relationship that had been broken back in the garden, and the only way that you could approach God was through the sacrificial system. Mm-hmm. Now that perfect sacrifice had been offered. And so it's vital that we understand that when we come to Christ, we've been given eternal life. That means that relationship with God is restored, that when we die physically, we continue to live on in the presence of God in a whole new realm, whole new body. And so that's important, because a lot of people think, he did overcome physical death. And that was to show that he was the Son of God. That's what the Scripture says. Mm. But that's not the reason that he died. You know, it was to restore that relationship. I mean, that was part of it, but the main part is that relationship with God, bringing us back into that koinonia, you know, the Greek word, that intimate fellowship with the Father. And we know our Bible that the only way that could be done was through that sacrifice, the high priest once a year in the Jewish system. Yep. Going once a year, and that's the thing to rejoice about, that we have that relationship reestablished with God only through Christ.
Okay, I can go to the next page now. No, but that is true. I mean, yes, you know, we shouldn't fear also because of that what happens to our body, because what did Paul say? Better for you that I stay, better for me that I go, you know. And the purpose of that is that he recognized the fact that, you know, and he also talked about, you know, when he is here with the brethren, he's away from Jesus. And when he's away from home, when he's with the brethren, when he goes back with Jesus, he's home, right? I mean, he's showing a connection there between his heavenly home and his earthly home. And I think that's the way I read that. Does that make sense? Remember those scriptures? Yeah. So when we look at these things, we need to really kind of focus on what it means to connect with God, and how faith is so important to the things that we do. And we need to differentiate that believing is not faith. You know. The faith is totally something that we, when we believe so deeply in our soul, that we can say, regardless of the situation. Every time I think about, I get so frustrated when I look at the world system and I look at the world and the way it's going, and then I get all anxious inside, and then I go back and I start to pray and I say, but Lord, you are in control. Nobody is going to take control from God. Can you believe that? Regardless of what's going on around us. You know, the scripture also tells us to be kind and loving to everybody. And I might get to that. I don't know. We'll see. But the other thing is that faith requires more from us. Okay? It requires us, first of all, to repent. You know, you can't have faith without repentance. You need to repent on a regular basis, if you're sinning on a regular basis, but until you gain enough faith, you know, to consider. And you know what? Sin is just not some of the things we do. Sometimes sin is doubt. Sometimes it's just not believing anymore that God can really help us through a situation. And I know times, that people have gone through losing jobs and praying up until the last day when they say, okay, my severance is going to end this month. And then up until that point, they had no success, but that day of that severance is going to go away, they get a job. Okay? So God can work at the last minute, and he will test. If he tests our faith, it's going to be because there is something that he knows that we need. You know that old adage that says, God knows your heart? Do you know that there's nothing that you do in secret that God does not know? When you start to do things that you know are against the Bible, against Scripture, against God, just think about the fact that eyes are always on you. Just think about cameras being everywhere you are, right? Because God can see that. God knows it. So you're not hiding it from anybody, especially the one who really makes the judgment on what you do. We can judge you for what you do, but it doesn't really matter, because it's really God who's making that judgment, and his judgment is final. So we need to really consider why we do things And our reasoning for doing things is because we have the faith in God and we've developed that relationship with God and we want to please Him. And He is more than anything in our room, in our house, our families, or anything else. Because when we connect with God, then we will change and our families will notice and reap the benefit of that change. Amen? So, yeah.
You know, like when you speak on faith, and like you said, an example of losing your job and then coming down to the last day of collecting your severance. A lot of times I think the problem that we as Christians have is in the waiting. We like, okay, we're going to wait on God to move in this situation, but it's in the waiting that you have to prepare.
That's right.
You don't get to do nothing in the waiting.
That's right.
You take God's promise of provision, but in the midst of that, knowing His promise is that He provides for you, that there's things that He wants you to be doing in the midst of that waiting for Him to come through. And all too often in this day and age, we don't wait for nothing. We don't wait for nothing. It's instant this, instant that. You can go online now. You can have your product shipped to your front door. The next day it's showing up.
Amen.
You don't have to go out to do anything. You don't toil for anything hardly anymore to be able to do the things that need to be done. And we as Christians, we need to be prepared that in the waiting process, exercising that faith in the waiting.
Amen.
His word is true. He will accomplish His word.
That's right.
Sometimes it's not accomplished because we sit back waiting, doing nothing. Well, okay, so what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do? I don't need to be studying. I don't need to be reading my word. I don't need to be searching for a job. I don't need to be doing anything. I just need to wait on You, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not at all what it's about. It's about exercising that faith and walking towards that goal, expecting Him to do what He said He would do.
We labor in the word.
And we have to do that.
Amen.
And we forget that we have to be doing something in that waiting.
I think Kenny made a good point. We think waiting is stopping. That it is not right.
Mm-hmm. So one other thing that the faith has to do is to prove itself. And I'm going to talk about, if I have enough time, but faith requires an action to prove itself. It says in James 2:15 through 26, it says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we need to turn our faith into action. We need to test ourselves. And I'm going to jump here a little bit, but for some, we think that we have faith because we do works or because we tithe. We're giving of our money, so that proves that I have faith in God. But it may not even be an impact to you. And here's a scripture that talks about that. In Luke 18:9-14, it says, the Pharisee and the tax collector says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down upon everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank You that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Faith will make us humble. Real faith will make you humble. And real faith will thank God for everything that you have received in your life. And it will also allow you to give it all away. Real faith will say, you will be able to say to God, and I'm not saying anyone here that God is telling you this, but if He is, you need to listen. Will be like if He tells you to give more than you have, He will bless you more than you've ever been blessed if you're obedient to His word. I mean, and you know, if you have a question about anything that God's asking you to do, bring it to the elders or the pastors. You know, I think that it's important that we just realize that if we want to be blessed, we need to be willing to let go of everything that God has given us. The blessings are greater beyond what we have, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's telling us. You know, I think God is awesome. Myself, I just, you know, I look at my life, my history, my past, and to be where I am today, from where I was when I was a kid, I mean, we were poor and broken as a family, and so I am blessed by everything I get. Sometimes I'm willing to live with things even though I can afford to change them. My wife yells at me all the time. She says, you need to, especially that shed in our backyard, that shed needs to go.
I am frugal.
But you know what? We need to be thankful. You know, faith will make you thankful. Because as you get to understand the things that God is doing for you and your trust in God, that you know that you can do anything in His name. That you can accomplish anything that's in His name, in His will. And even sometimes I think when God knows that you're trying, because like I said before, He knows our heart, right? Jesus spoke of that Pharisee who God would know this heart, that he would not be justified. When God knows your heart, I believe, and it aligns with His, the prayers that we put forth and the things that we ask for and the giftings that we have will come out. And they will be recognized by us, and we'll know what we need to do in order to move forward in Christ. Okay, so how can we test our faith? We should always compare ourselves to Christ, right? And examine ourselves daily. It says so in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, it's difficult to examine ourselves, isn't it? Yeah. Our motives, our failures, all the things that... Because we're very deceptive. Self-deceptive. Even the sinners, I mean, the people, if you go to even murderers, there's justification for why they do what they do. You know? So who's going to tell themselves that this is a sin and I need to stop it? Or this is something, because, you know, we just want to do what we want to do, and a lot of times we kind of cover it up. And the biggest thing we cover up, and we don't even realize it, and it's so easy to express it without us even realizing it, is pride. You know? Pride is difficult. Anytime when we defend ourselves to a degree, and we get angry, a lot of times anger comes out of pride. We're defending ourselves against an attack. But God is telling us in His Word that we need to forgive and we need to relax and just be an example. And if we're going to be an example of Christ, then we need to change the way we respond to things. Because Christ even says, you know, be these things to the emperors, even though they're wrong. Even those who attack you, be this way. And there's scripture that I didn't put down here because I knew that I was going to run out of time. But there's a lot of things that you need to do to change the way you respond. We don't need to defend ourselves. You know what? We don't need to defend God. God is God. Does He need us to defend Him? No, He needs us to go out there and profess our faith to people so that they can accept Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we need to stop working on a defense for ourselves too, so that when people, the Word says, when they attack you, they will see your good works. They will see the good deeds. They will see your good reaction, whatever it is, that you have to change, that you have changed so that you will not do the same thing. You're not the same old you that you used to be. I'm going to pull these out because I'm going to read a few scriptures here on how we test ourselves. One of the things that we need to do is question, are we being obedient, right? And in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, it's a good scripture to read if you want to just compare some things that God wants us to do. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now that's where the love part comes in, you know, in our faith, because now it's going to allow us to be more expressive to people and help change their lives so that we can be changed even more in our faith with God. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. There's that thankful. Every day, be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we need to question this, our obedience. We need to, as a matter of fact, come to Scripture that speaks to exactly what God wants us to do. You know, the Ten Commandments really are commandments of love, and that's how Christ redefined them. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself type of thing, okay? All of the scriptures after the Lord your God is what we end up trying to do to each other that God's telling us to stop doing. So when we are offending people or we, you know, we retaliate, you know, our example is what they see. So we need to really question every time that we do something and we say something in response to people. Are we doing it because we want to reflect Christ more than we want to reflect who we were? Always. Amen? Is your faith growing? In 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. We are all dying, right? Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Isn't that something? You know, they're telling us right here to fix our eyes on what we don't see. That's faith. Since what is seen is temporary, we don't realize. I know that one time you gave that little demonstration of the knot in the middle of a big rope and how small that was compared to eternity. You know? Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we want to grow in our faith. We want to continually move onto that area of unseen, unknown territory that sometimes we just cover up with, I believe. We need to go beyond belief because it requires something more out of us to have faith than just believing, as I've already shown. Is your faith evident to others? I think I talked about that. It says, dear friends, and 1 Peter 2:11-17, says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, something I mentioned already, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to emperors as to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. In the Spirit, we live as free people. In faith, we live as free people because we no longer fear the repercussions against us for doing God's will and doing God's work. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of the believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So even when we have foolish people who are over our country and over our states or whatever it is, cities, we need to honor them. Because our example is to be, is to show them that there is Christ in us. That we live through Christ. The last one here is, do you share your faith? If God does not want anyone to perish, neither should we. In Luke 19:10, it said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." If we are representations of Christ, then that's what we should be doing. We should be willing to open our mouth. What is the most difficult thing to overcome in sharing? I know some people have some challenges with sharing.
Fear.
Fear? Fear of rejection? Fear of not having the answers? How about persecution? You know, certain... If you're in certain countries, you might fear being killed, right? And we know that there are people in China sharing the word, and yet there are people seeking to kill them. So, you know, you think when you wake up in the morning, you think about, you know, who you are in Christ, be thankful that you can share God's word with people around you. Because I'll tell you what, even in this country, there may come a day when we begin to get persecuted again because we stand for righteousness. And I've said this before, but I think that if this last election had gone a different way, I'm not trying to get political, but I'm just trying to make a point that the judges and the Supreme Court would have said that we no longer, just like they do in Canada, we can no longer speak about sin because it is against other people who are committing the sin. Okay? So I'm going to wrap it up here, but I just want to say that just living a godly life is sharing your faith. The way we act, the way we respond to things, you know, I'm dealing with a certain situation at home where my daughter is living with us with her family. Her husband is an atheist. And God, both my wife and I, we talked about the fact that, you know, we're not going to make them feel uncomfortable, but, you know, we pray for the opportunity to share our faith. You know, so it's like everybody who is really intelligent usually goes by what they can see and hear. And, you know, I trust in God. I trust in God. There was a time when my children didn't serve God at all, and I just told, God told me to shut up. And I did, and one by one, my kids came to me for understanding about certain things, and I was able to share the Lord. And now I've got a son who's serving, my daughter's serving. I got, you know, my other daughter believes, but unfortunately she's got a husband who turned. But you know what? One by one, I trust God that my children will all come back to Him. And I can't say that unless I have that faith in God, that I know that He can do anything. God can do anything. Do you have faith to believe that God can do anything? It's not just a belief thing. It goes deeper than your thinking. It goes right to the heart, and it says that, God, You are in control. I'm just going to ask and wait that this situation will change, and I'll be patient to wait until it does. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Give him a hand. And again, we'd like to thank Linda and Brittany for breakfast. It was very good, ladies. We have prayer down front. Amen? Amen.
Amen.